Hey, friends, welcome back to an episode of Notes from the Edge. I am your host, Lisa Lacey, and this is the space we talk about the things we should have been talking about the whole time. Guess what? You ain't talking about it, but we're gonna. And today's guest, Renee Carbone Fleming, has an amazing story that I think is going to inspire so many people. She is an award-winning entrepreneur, author, podcast host herself, and founder of the Badass Queen Movement. After experiencing, check this out, bankruptcy and the end of her marriage, she rebuilt her life and business from the ground up. She went on to develop a multi-million dollar brand empire and spend more than 11 years building a direct sales organization that has generated over $13 million. Guys, from the ground up, started from scratch. She can do it. You can do it. And she's going to tell us how today. Along with that, she recruited, trained, and scaled a team of over 400 people. She is the creator of the Watch Me Method. I dig this. Five principles operating system for women who are ready to stop seeking permission. I bet she's going to talk about that a lot today and begin building through decisive action. So we're going to let her tell us about her Watch Me Method, but she is an unapologetically badass podcast host, author of three books, including Watch Me, The Business Philosophy for Women Who Move Without Permission. Renee, oh my goodness, welcome to Notes from the Edge. How are you, my friend?
Thank you so much. What an intro. I think I'm going to need to like record that and play that back in those moments where, ready to like throw the towel in again.
When you doubt yourself, it's always better for somebody to do it for you.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God, that was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be on.
Well, thank you so much. And I got to tell you, I am booked up with podcast guests because this thing just lit on fire. But I've so been looking forward to this one because I think there's so many women out there that really, really, really need your message. So before you became the badass queen, let's start from where you were in bankruptcy. It was the end of your marriage. It was a collapse of life as you knew it. So what was the pivot? Because there has to be a pivot, right? A moment where you go, this is not going to be my life. I'm going to do something different. Where was that? What was that? Talk to us.
So, that all happened over time. And when, we all go through ish in life, right? And it's what we learn from it. How do we grow from it? And what do we do with it? So, but I was performing. And I think a lot of women will recognize this version of themselves. I performed being okay. I performed being strong. I performed having all the answers because I thought if people knew how really scared I was, they would think that I failed. So, like when my marriage ended, when I had to rebuild my life, back when I went through a bankruptcy, I was just exhausted from pretending everything was fine. And the turning point really wasn't some like dramatic movie moment. It was realizing that I was spending more energy protecting other people's perception of me rather than actually
Oh,
building the life I wanted.
that's
And
good.
I finally thought, like, if they're going to judge me anyway, might as well judge the real me, right? And so,
We're so concerned about what other people think, and most of them are not where we want to be anyway. So, what are
exactly,
we so worried
exactly.
about?
And that's when Badass Queen was born. Not because, I suddenly became fearless. It was because I was just more committed to my future than I was to protecting my image.
I love that. I
That's
love
it.
that. And other people's feelings, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because well, and I think for a lot of women, there comes a time in our life where we go, you know what? I have got to put myself first, or I'm not going to survive this thing. And that's a very selfless act because when we are full and we are pouring from an overflowing cup, people get 110% of us. But when we are pouring from exhaust, or you said it, the performance is exhausting.
Yeah.
And collapse is inevitable in some area.
Yeah, at 1,000%. And this is such a, it's such an important conversation to bring to light, because so often we, you know, lessen ourselves. We're small, and, you know, we do put this performance on. And I think, you know, like my audience, a lot of women that I talk to are women over 40, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm 56 right now. So I, you know, we speak from experience, but I think what's important about these conversations is also to share this with the younger generation. I share this with the kids because they need to see that they don't need to perform. And it's, I think, you know, through the generations, the whole, you know, kids should be seen and not heard, like all of those things stay with you, and it goes and it passes through generations. So I think it's really important to be honest with the younger generation, the younger women, and share what we've gone through so that they learn and, you know, understand us more is an important thing. And, you know, not make the same, I can't say mistakes, because I don't think life is like full of mistakes. It's lessons. But perhaps they can learn something from our lessons so that they don't feel the pressure of performing.
Or we can save them 20 years of trauma, right? Yeah. I mean, we can save them 20 years of trauma if you just, and it sounds so simple. Just be yourself and live the life and build the life that you want, despite what other people think. Or because talk to me about this. People are going to misunderstand us anyway, right?
Yeah. People are that, and we don't owe them that explanation. They're going to misunderstand us, right? And that's okay. That's on them, right? And so that whole thing became my watch me. Right. So the watch me method begins with withdraw from explanation.
Oh, I love that. There's that right so there. Much power in that.
Right. It's withdraw from explanation. It's act before approval. It's take up space publicly. It's commit without consensus. And it's hold a vision when no one else does. That became everything, every fiber of my being. And it didn't come from necessarily proving people. It was me wanting to ensure that those that underestimated me, the best years they thought were behind me, you know, the people who doubted my decisions, the people who silently rooted for me to stay small because it made them comfortable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wrote watch me on post-it notes, and I put that all over my office, and it became the promise of the woman that I promised myself I'd become. Ugh. So when I released that energy of, you know, started off from revenge, but it became a purpose. You know, watch me isn't proving anything to anyone. It's about really keeping the promises to myself.
I love that. Commitments to ourselves. So set goals for ourselves and go over those again, because those are pretty top notch, because I don't think when we're on autopilot, when we're in survival mode, we don't realize how much we explain ourselves. Like I used to, when I'd cancel a doctor's appointment, I'm getting charged for it because I was late canceled. I'd have to go into a whole long explanation, but cancel the doctor's appointment. I mean, that's how much explaining I would do. So go over this one more time, because I think they're so important.
Yes. So watch me is withdraw from explanation, act before approval, take up space publicly, commit without consensus, and hold the vision when no one else does.
To yourself. Yeah,
to yourself, right? Because I love that. We have one life to live, right? And this is, we have to be committed to what we want, our goals. And that, you know, that withdraw from explanation is really important, because you touched on that. We've been conditioned to believe being nice means being available for everyone's opinion, right?
That's great. Yes.
we know that we experience.
I am no longer available for your opinion. Brilliant.
I am no longer available for that, right? As women, we tend to explain, just like you said.
Yes, everything.
Women defend explain
everything.
Men announce.
They do, don't that. They?
Right? So yeah. How many times do we hear women say, I'm so sorry, but, or we say things like, I hope this makes sense. I know this probably sounds crazy. And I still sometimes catch myself doing this, right?
Oh, the sorry, that I'm sorry for drawing breath. I'm sorry I exist.
I'm sorry. You know, somebody else cancels the appointment and you're like, I'm sorry. What the fuck am I sorry for? No,
you can cuss on here. It's
good. Okay. Okay. Hence the badass queen.
I was talking about. Yeah.
But yes, we're constantly asking permission before we even speak.
We do.
And, you know, every explanation invites negotiation. Every apology lowers our authority. But when you know who you are, every fiber of your being, you don't need a committee vote.
That's it right there. Because when I was drowning, I had all the six-figure income and the career and the perfect veneer, but I was still miserable behind the scenes because I didn't know who I was. Yeah. And I didn't like that person. Yeah. I dig who I am now. I love my own company. I enjoy myself very, very much. And when you can do that, life shifts for you exponentially.
Yes.
In all arenas, relationships and your bank account, and you're doing the job you love, and you're loving on the people that you love, care about, and serve so much more because you truly are available to them by conscious choice with intention, right?
Absolutely. And that's the thing is, you know, being that badass queen, you can still be kind. I mean, you're still compassionate. But through all of this, we just don't owe everyone an explanation for becoming the woman we were meant to become.
Yeah, for our existence. I love that. So your reinvention began with those two words, watch me, and you'd put it on post-its. When did that come? Was it originally just like, you guys have counted me out and I'm not going to be counted out?
That came from, you know, me having to reinvent myself post-divorce. I had to figure out what was the next chapter going to look like. And when I started my business, again, you know, a lot of people were probably rooting for me to fail or not believing that I could do it. And, you know, I'm Italian and Portuguese and I'm pretty damn stubborn. And, you know, I was like, no, I've never done this before, but I have.
I'll figure it out.
You know, everything is figure outable, first of all, right?
And yes, and say yes. If an opportunity presents, say yes, figure it out later. You can figure it out.
Absolutely. And I'm like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Okay, if I did fail, but I don't even like to think about that. I'm just like, no, I refuse to subscribe to that. It's not going to happen. I will figure it out and I will build it. I know the one person that I can count on in this world is me.
I love that. I love that. So why do you feel like those words are so powerful? Withdraw from explanation, the W, that's the starting place of your method. And I think that's the most powerful one because that's where it begins. And observation is not neutral. That's quantum physics, quantum mechanics. The minute you observe, because see, I didn't realize I was explaining my existence to people. Yeah. I didn't realize I was asking permission to draw breath from people. What's one of the first things with your clients that you do in terms of that W, withdraw from explanation? And what's some amazing things you see happen for women when they do that?
That's a great question. So one thing that I love sharing, and this helps women overcome explaining themselves, is we get very clear on exactly what they want out of their business, their life. You know, what exactly do you want your life to look like, for instance, in 1 year? You know, I love manifesting and I love, you know, putting it on boards and having all of the stuff. But what I challenge everyone to do is not only write everything down, like literally, how do you want your life to feel? How do you want to spend your days, your weeks? How many clients do you want? How many, you know, how much income do you want to earn? What's the revenue look like? Do you want multiple streams? Are you traveling? Where are you going? Who are you going with? Think about that. You know, if you're going to the beach, like sit there and like think of the smell of the ocean or whatever this is. And I want them to write it down, visualize it, and sit with it. And then once they do that, I have them pull out their voice memo on their phone and I have them record it as if it already happened.
Oh, I love that exercise. So you're like doubling down on it, girl. You're like,
this is a done deal. So when you record your future self, you didn't achieve it yet. But you play that every freaking morning. I play that every morning, part of my miracle morning, no fail. So even on those days where, as entrepreneurs, there are tons of days that we want to throw the towel in.
Yes, but I don't think people realize that.
No, they don't. They see all the shiny. They see the good. But I play that every single morning. And when I hear myself and the excitement and as if I've already done it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm what is this life I live? But that gives me, that's that withdrawal from explanation. I don't owe anybody an explanation. This is the life that I am building. This is the life I am living. And this is why I'm doing what I'm doing every single day.
I love it. I love it because there's so many women out there stuck right now.
Yeah.
There's so many women out there stuck. So you talk about the approval tax. What does waiting to be understood, because we're always going to be misunderstood by somebody, or supported or validated, actually cost a woman not only in her career, but income and even her identity?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the approval tax, it's expensive. It can cost promotions. It costs businesses that never get started. It costs books that never get written. Oh. It costs relationships we stay in way too long. It costs opportunity, right? We've all been there. It costs opportunities that we talk ourselves out of.
Oh.
And eventually it can cost our identity because every time we ask someone else whether we're ready, we're handing them the pen to write our story. Oh. So the women who change their lives aren't necessarily the most confident, but they're the women who stop asking for permission.
Because nobody's going to get it. No. Especially if our dreams are big, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you ask, you know, somebody in your family who, you know, works a 9-to-5, they've been in that job for, and you're saying, you know, I'm going to build a wine brand. They're like, you are batshit crazy. Why would you do that? Go get a job, get a pension, work till you die, you know? And it's like, I can't learn from you and that's okay. Like we're on different paths. There's nothing wrong with that, but you really need to surround yourself also with like-minded people that are going in places that you want to go to. I do not want to be the smartest person in the room. No way. I want to surround myself with people that know a hell of a lot more than I do so that I can learn from them and I can apply some of their trainings and teachings into my world and my business.
You're bringing up a very valid point, my friends. Get support underneath you. Get a transformational coach. That was the change for me in terms of forward momentum. And I talk about this a lot in here. I went through all the therapies, name and acronym in the clinical therapeutic arena. I did it. And I still wasn't feeling so great. And then I got a transformational coach. And because we are so focused on moving people forward, that's what the pivotal change for me was. So my friends out there, get support because sometimes it just takes another person that has your back,
right?
That can show you a different perspective that you're not able to see and can see things in yourself that you may not be ready or able to see yet. So absolutely, you know, I forget who said it, but you become like the people you surround yourself with. So, and most of my family are 9-to-5 work and save up your money. And they don't, but I mean, my mother's like, I don't even understand what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's okay. I meet her where she's at. She meets me where I'm at. And there are just some things that we don't talk about because we're not on the, in terms of having the same things in common on that level. But yeah, if you have big dreams, hang on to them. And there's something special. Tell me, Renee, isn't there something special about keeping them just for you for a little while too?
Oh, absolutely. When you want to come up with a plan, right? So when you figure out what is it that you want to do, and I have this clarity intensive, and I do these like single calls with women to really like dissect. A lot of people come to me that they're like, I want to do this. I want to do this. And we get very clear. What is it they want to do? Let's create a plan, create a goal. And then I have programs to work with them to do that. But once they establish where they want to go, then it's okay. Yeah. You start talking about it publicly. Let people know, let the universe know this is who you are becoming. And it's not even who you're becoming. It's who you are, even though you're not there yet. Right. And so I became badass queen even before I felt like I was a true badass queen, you know, and I really, I love that for other women. That's why I created it. I want women to have that sense of, you know, self-empowerment and feeling good about where they are in their journey.
And isn't it amazing when you see the confidence come back to them, their eyes just look different? Yeah.
Yes. It feels so good to be part of somebody's journey. And then they click and they're like the posture.
They get taller. Maybe like 2 inches taller.
Yes, exactly. And it's so great to see and experience. And so, yeah, to be part of anybody's journey that, you know, gets to that confidence positioning is really
beautiful. I love that you have so many offerings and places that people can go to help get them there because it's individualized. Yeah. So you teach that confidence, speaking of confidence, is the byproduct of execution. So you don't need it at first, friends. You don't need it at first. And even you can do it scared, but do the thing. So talk to me about confidence being the byproduct of doing the thing or the execution.
Yeah, I love this question because I think confidence has been marketed all wrong. And you just said do it scared. I wrote a song recently and it's out on Apple and Spotify. I have a few, but it's the song title is I Can Be Scared. And it really is I can be scared and still know. And that's just the truth, right? People think confidence comes first and it doesn't. Action comes first. So confidence is simply evidence collected over time. Mm-hmm. Nobody feels ready. I didn't feel ready to build a business. I didn't feel ready to speak on stages. I didn't feel ready to launch a podcast, write a book, or create the wine brand. But I just kept collecting proof. You know, one uncomfortable action, another uncomfortable action, then another. And then eventually your brain just stops asking, can I do this? Because you've already done it 100 times.
So I love that.
Yeah. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's deciding fear doesn't get to drive anymore. That's it.
Exactly. Who's in charge?
Yeah.
Who's in charge? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do it scared. And you're right. And what's so fascinating is I guarantee you, when you do the thing, take the action, take the leap, you're going to turn around and pivot and go, wow, that was fantastic. Or that wasn't that bad, right? Yeah. That was my experience. I ran from my emotions and feelings in life and trauma for 20 years in a bottle, even though I was successful professionally, my personal life was a hot mess. Yeah. But once I did turn and face all that trauma, I was like, that wasn't that bad. What was I doing all that time? So yeah, this is your call to action to do it. Renee's here to help you. So you're seeing your brand on a billboard in Times Square. How was that experience after filing bankruptcy?
I mean, could you even, pinch me. It was such a moment. I was very honored. I was, I was awarded Top Empowerment Coach of the Year, and they had me on the NASDAQ billboard in Times Square. It was such an amazing moment. And I got to share that with some of my family, and my daughter, my oldest daughter came, and it was just unbelievable. You know, but the thing is like, we see these moments on social media, right? And these amazing experiences. And I am extremely blessed to be able to experience a lot of these highs, but oftentimes we leave the boring part out. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was the reflection. And I reflect a lot on all of this because I don't take this for granted by any means, but people don't see the rejection. I love talking about it because I want women to know that it's not easy. It's, you know, a lot like you and I said, we want to throw in the towel many times during the course of being an entrepreneur. Right. Mm-hmm. But we go through a lot of self-doubt. People don't see the ugly crying. They don't see the launches that nobody bought, the months that, you know, I wonder if I'm completely delusional. they see Times Square, but they don't see the thousands of mornings where nobody was clapping.
Yeah.
The zeros,
you wake up and there's no action, there's no activity, but you just keep doing it.
Yeah, you build it during,
you believe in you.
Exactly. You build it during those, you know, boring, ordinary Tuesdays when no one shows up. You know, yeah. I didn't become successful because I was the smartest person. I stayed in the game longer. And, you know, I'm still building. And like I said, the Badass Queen wine brand, that's launching in October. I'm really excited about
that. Girl, if I still drank, I'd be all over it, but you don't want me on some wine.
For those that love it.
And I are 8 years clean together, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
So for those that love it.
If we had a child, it'd come out with a bomb in one hand and a bottle in the other. So no.
No, that's funny.
Exciting. What prompted that? I mean, that seems so cool. Like, you just one day was like, you know what? I'm going to come up with some really tasty wine.
Well, you know what? The world does not need another wine brand. There are wonderful, wonderful wines out there. There was no wine that spoke to that woman, that spoke to us, those that have overcome, those that are unapologetic. So each varietal will have a story. And I want women to celebrate when they open up that bottle of Badass Queen wine. And if it's a Watch Me Rise Chardonnay and they're like, yes, you know, I got this promotion. Pop that bad boy, you know.
I love it.
You know, it's a feeling. It's a vibe. There's nothing out there that was talking to us women over 40 that have, you know, celebrated the signing of the divorce papers, that, you know, perhaps overcame cancer and is a warrior there, or that got the promotion or signed their first deal, or, you know, just survived the day. Like, they made it through without, you know, ramming their car into someone. So that's why I created it. You know, I want women to feel celebrated for the badass that they are every freaking day. So
I love the stories behind that, girl. It's going to take off, no doubt, because you're you. It's going to take off, no doubt. Okay, so tell me, if people want to work with you, okay, they're feeling stuck, they're feeling a little lost, not sure what next chapter is, they've kind of hit a bottom. How do they get in touch with you, and what's the best first step for them to begin to work with you?
Well, they can reach me at, you know, on social media, all the platforms, Renee Carbone Fleming. They can go to my website, badassqueen.co. There's a lot of free resources as well. There's a fun new Queen's quiz on there. They can find out what their archetype is, and it's a lot of fun.
I love archetype quizzes. I'm going to take it.
It's a lot of fun. I had a blast creating that. And, you know, again, they can they can be in my circle. I have the Queen Circle, and that's, you know, a first level membership, and that's a monthly membership to have access to, you know, other badass women and networking and having fun and sharing
community.
Ideas. It's a community. It's, you know, it's where just real women and, you know, surviving, thriving, growing, failing forward, you know, all of the things. But, you know, it's really important to have that. And, you know, I do have programs, trainings, courses, coaching that, you know, I can help with, but I love starting off with a conversation because, you know, I'm not a cookie cutter, one size fits all. I want to meet them where they're at and, you know, figure out whether or not I'm the right person too. Cause that's the other thing, you know, there's a ton of coaches. There's let's be frank, right? You can go and you can Google, you can AI, there's a ton of coaches, right? Yep. But I really suggest that no matter what, everyone do their due diligence, do their research, and, you know, have that conversation. Because when you hire a coach, you want to ensure that you're aligned with the style as well. Right.
Yes. It's a relationship.
It really is. Like we get so emotional. Like a lot of my coaching clients, there's a lot of, I don't mean to be Barbara Walters for those that, you know, can remember who that is, but I don't. But some people like will have emotional sessions because
yes,
we're women, and that's life is emotional, and that's okay. But yes, you know, you want
to
work
part of the clearing too to get to where you're going.
Absolutely. And you know, I'm very authentic. I share the good, the bad, the ugly, and I encourage them as well. We want to make sure that we build a very authentic brand with them. So
I love
that. I really always suggest, you know, make sure you have conversations with people, and it's not just buy a course or you're not going to get that shit from me.
And you're a good fit, right? A good fit to work together that you're going to get what you need out of it. Yeah. Yes, exactly. You talk to people, and if it's not the right fit, it sounds like you have resources for them that they can use. But so guys, you don't have to write any of that down. We're going to put all of Renee's socials and links. They'll be clickable. So listen, if you're feeling stuck, if you want her attitude, because I dig it. And listen, even if you lost it all and you're, say, my age, 50, 56, it's still time for you to have the chapter that you actually never dreamed you could have. Seriously, oh my friends. It's
1,000%. And that's
an example of it. Yeah.
The boldest chapter yet is actually my Cabernet.
And she's got some wine coming out so you can celebrate when you get to where you need to go. So I love it. Well, Renee, we close out with two questions for all of our guests. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
All right. The first question is, in your own life, what did you perform in order to survive? And what did dropping that role mask or performance do for your life?
The performance was pretending that I was okay when I was actually bawling my eyes out on the bathroom floor, not knowing what the hell was going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And the way I got through that was to get clear on my success and what does my success look like too? Because everyone's success is different. But what did I want?
Very specific.
And the reasons why it has to be more, you know, and it certainly was more than just, you know, this is what I want or the lifestyle that I want. I wanted it to mean something. And, you know, when I really determined that at the core of everything that I enjoy doing is helping another woman feel seen.
Yeah.
Helping them feel like they can do something. And like you said, I don't care if you're 50, I don't care if you're 70, I don't care if you're 20, I don't care if you didn't have a college degree, I don't care what your background is. None of that matters. If you have a PhD in life, passion, heart, desire, you can do whatever the frig you want.
I believe that. And I believe you mirror other women's power back to them. And I think for so many of us, we need strong women to tell us how much power we have. Yeah. Gorgeous, my friend. All right. Last question. You ready?
Yeah.
What do you wish we were talking more about? What conversations do we need to be having that we're not?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I think we've gotten better. I mean, our age group, mm-hmm. I think we are, you know, getting better at talking about the realities of menopause.
Mm-hmm. Sort of. It snuck up on me. And I have a congenital blood disease, so I can't take anything to help with it. So I am winging this. My husband the other day, he goes, because we discuss each other's wants and needs, right? We do our best to fill them. And he was like, can you be a little more stable for the next few weeks? I was like, no. Right. No, I can't.
You know, I don't think it certainly wasn't. I didn't learn a lot about menopause. I just kind of went through it. And again, the whole like, I'm fine. You know, it just, whatever.
We say I'm fine.
We say I'm fine. And it's now, until now, I'm at the point where, you know, I finally got my estrogen level checked and I went, holy shit. I'm proud of myself for not, you know, ending up in prison. So I'm grateful that, you know, I made it through, but you know, those conversations need to happen more and more and more. And so women know what to really expect or the options that are available that we didn't know was available or wasn't available for our generation. They need to learn this at an early age, completely early. So I think the more conversations we have about that, the more the younger women are going to be able to be much more in control of their body and their future self
and their minds and prepared. Yeah. Because it is actually the biggest neurobiological physiological change we go through in life, even over puberty. So I agree, sister. I agree. Thank you. Beautiful.
And it can last for freaking decades. People don't understand that.
I have a new doctor now, by the way, because when I told him, I said, because I struggle with a history of mental illness, and I was like, my mind is starting to go a little bit. And he hands me some Valium and told me to wing it. That's what he said. He said, here's a prescription, wing it. I was like, all right, I'm not going to be seeing you again.
Oh my gosh. That's the thing is, you know, it's doing that due diligence. The more we talk about it, the more it's going to be, we're going to be able to find the resources that we need to.
And advocate for ourselves.
Absolutely.
What we need as individuals. Because menopause is a very individual experience and it looks different on all of us.
Exactly. Yeah. And so many times we hear that, oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. That's okay. That's normal. You're just aging.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love about your Watch Me method is it's going to prepare people really well for that, too, because it gets you out of that explanation. So, Absolutely. Well, Renee, awesome having you here. We're going to make sure everybody has the links. Reach out to Renee if you're feeling stuck. She's going to help you get unstuck and feeling like a badass queen in no time at all, has an amazing community and some free resources. And remember, friends, always ask yourself this question too. What are you performing in order to survive? And how might your life improve if you drop the role, mask, or performance? I'm your host, Lisa Lacey. And when you find that answer, welcome to the edge. Thanks, Renee.
Thank you. Thank you very much.